May the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So here we are again at Transfiguration Sunday. And Transfiguration Sunday is, of course, one of these slightly confusing things in the church year because it comes twice. It was originally in August, but the powers that be decided we needed another one at the beginning of Lent. And so, in a sense, today we are on top of the mountain, and we look across the valley, which is Lent, to the next mountaintop experience, which will, of course, be Easter Day. Thank you. So that's kind of the picture. Imagine two mountains and a valley in between. So Lent starts this week. Lent is a season that extends beyond the church, in a sense, because you will find people of all kinds of faith and none who will have conversations about what they might be giving up for Lent. And a lot of people choose to take an act of deliberate sacrifice. So if you've done the life group series called, what's it called? Unsuccessful. Someone tell me the name of it because it's gone, obviously, because I'm saying it out loud in church. How to be unsuccessful, thank you. Just trying to demonstrate the point that I'm quite unsuccessful at remembering the title of the series. But the last session talks about the resurrection power and then walking with Jesus in his sufferings. And in a sense, that's what Lent is. It's a time of saying, I'm going to choose. I've told some of you this before, but at school when I was young, I'm still young, but when I was younger, we had school dinners. And on Friday lunchtimes, we had fish. Because fish was seen as an act of sort of penitence and fasting to have fish. The only thing is, it being England, of course, we had fish and chips. So it didn't really feel like that much of a sacrifice. And then just to make up for the fact that we had to have fish for lunch, they made us like a chocolate sponge pudding with chocolate sauce. So it really didn't feel like a sacrificial day. And we all loved Fridays. But anyway, Lent. So you might just be beginning to think about if there was something you wanted to give up for Lent, and you don't have to do that at all. But a lot of people find it's a helpful exercise to look at the world differently by missing their morning cup of tea or coffee or chocolate or whatever else. And so we're here today on the mountaintop of the Transfiguration, celebrating the joy of the resurrection as we look ahead to Easter Day on the next mountaintop, when we will celebrate for real the resurrection. And in the middle is the valley. If ever you've gone up a mountain, whether you've hiked the Grouse Grind or you've gone up in the gondola, there's something about being at the top of a mountain and looking down at the view that can feel quite special. And so that's where we are in Luke's gospel today. It's 8 days after Jesus had predicted his death and shared that with the disciples, so they're still kind of at odds around that. And he takes Peter, John, and James, and they go onto a mountain to pray. Verse 29, as he's praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Our appearance doesn't always change when we pray. But, you know, sometimes it does. Sometimes you can see somebody looks different, and it's because they have spent time praying. Maybe they've had a quiet hour. Many of you are part of, on the sixth day of each month, we as a church have a 24 hours of prayer, and different people take an hour each. There's something about sitting and praying for an hour. You don't, of course, have to sit and pray. You can run and pray. You can walk and pray. You can drive and pray. But for many people, as they spend time praying, you will notice they look different. And maybe their face hasn't changed, like white as lightning or whatever, but there is that sense of peace that you can see in them as they've spent time in the presence of God. For other people, they can spend time singing, and you see the same thing, a sense that they look different. Their appearance changes. Here it's Jesus, and his appearance changes so much. His clothes become as bright as a flash of lightning, and then two other people appear with him, and their names are? Moses and Elijah. Good, just checking you're listening. Moses and Elijah appear also, it says, in glorious splendor. They're talking with Jesus. What do they talk about? They talk about his departure. They talk about the fulfillment that Jesus would bring at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions didn't have as much energy as Jesus, it seems, for climbing the mountain and praying, and they were a bit sleepy, a bit like the average church congregation halfway through a sermon. And all of a sudden, they see this brightness of clothes appearing like lightning. They see the two men. And Peter is pretty excited. And he says what people often say, "This is so good, we should do it again. In fact, we should build some houses here, and we should stay at the top of this mountain in this place." The reality is, we have to at some point go back down from the mountain. We can't live, if it's a high mountain, we can't live there forever. So we can only stay there for a time. The sun will set and you don't want to get stuck on a mountain. Peter says, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And no sooner has he said this, but a cloud appears. And when we see a cloud appearing in the Bible, it typically is a symbol of God. Normally something's going to happen and it's to do with God, and that's often symbolized by a cloud. And so a cloud appears and covers them. And as they're in the midst of the cloud, they're a bit afraid. I don't know if you've ever been up a mountain in a cloud. Anyone been hiking? Even lower down, and suddenly it feels like a cloud is there. And clouds can be quite scary. When I was learning to fly, which was also in England, they have clouds there too. Not the kind of clouds that symbolize God, but clouds. And so we found ourselves flying in a cloud. I know a couple of you here have experienced these things, but you kind of learn to fly in cloud by using things called foggles. Foggles are like goggles that symbolize fog. So they're kind of like safety glasses you might wear if you're doing woodwork or something, and they've got small bits cut out so you can see your instruments in front of you, but you can't, it kind of mimics everything else is in cloud, and all you can see is your instruments. And the thing with foggles is, this might be obvious, but you can cheat. You can just take them off, and then you can see, and there are no clouds, right? Quite different if you're flying and it is actual clouds, and it is the weirdest sensation being in a 50-year-old plane with a door that sometimes comes open because the latch isn't very strong. And around you is like this cotton wool stuff. It is very disorientating. So when you're, of course, on a mountain, you've got your feet on the floor. But I sort of tell that story to kind of picture, what would it feel like if you're there and one moment you think you've just seen these great prophets of old, Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and you're at this great holy moment, and all of a sudden you're in the cloud and you can't see a thing. They were afraid. And in their fear, a voice speaks from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Of course, that mimics other times when we hear God speaking from the cloud. It mimics what we had a few weeks ago, the baptism of Jesus. "This is my son." For a moment, for Peter, James, and John, they didn't need faith because they have the audible voice of God. Oh, wouldn't it be nice sometimes to hear the audible voice of God? although a digression, we say we'd like to hear the audible voice of God, but if the audible voice of God actually was telling us something different to what we wanted it to, we might have a different opinion. But what was it like to hear the audible voice of God saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen, listen to him"? For a moment, faith was not needed. And yet, these would be the same disciples, Peter, who would later go on to deny Jesus 3 times. He not only had seen this whole event unfold before him, but Peter had been told, "This is Jesus. This is the Son of God." He'd heard the voice of God say it. And yet he would still go on to deny Jesus. I think that gives us hope. That gives us hope that when our faith falters, which as we go through life it does, and if your faith hasn't faltered yet, talk to me about ordination, because it will surely start to falter when you get ordained, if it hasn't already. But we've all experienced faith faltering at different times. And we can see even Peter, who had heard the voice of God say, "This is my son," even him, his faith faltered. And yet, Jesus, still knowing, still loved him, still chose him. No sooner had the voice spoken, but this cloud that had enveloped them completely disappeared. And there they are again on the mountain with Jesus. When the voice had spoken, verse 36, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. Other gospels talk about the conversation as they went down the mountain, trying to make sense of it all, but Luke leaves us there. So what are we to make of this experience of the transfiguration, and why do we have that just before Lent? It's that we are to set our eyes to the resurrection. We're to set our eyes to Easter, when we see the fulfillment of all that Jesus came to do. We're to set our eyes to Easter, that as we walk through the season of Lent, as we take time to reflect on the sacrifice of Christ, the sacrifice that we step into participating in as followers of Christ, we're to have that set before us. Easter is coming. Jesus did die and rise again on the 3rd day. And we're here each Sunday to celebrate that. But as we set out on the journey, we can't stay on the mountain all the time. We can't be up there in that amazing place all the time. We have to go down the mountain, back to the reality of the worlds we live in, the worlds of brokenness, of illness and sickness. As I look out upon the church week by week, I see people who are in different ways, to different extents, broken in body, mind, and spirit, whether it be physical illnesses, mental illnesses, spiritual things, emotional things, or if it's not us here, it's people we know and love in our family. And so we recognize that coming down from the mountain into the valley, the reality for many is hard. And yet, we look back to those moments where we see the mountain, and we remember the times when we saw Jesus in our worship, whether that be in our singing, in our prayers, in our receiving communion, in our coming for prayer ministry, and we experienced something like they did in a small way of the voice of God, of the hand of God, of the peace of the Holy Spirit touching our lives. And those are the things that we hold on to as we walk through the dark valley symbolized by Lent, knowing that we have a hope and we have a peace, that God promises to be with us even in the hard times as we look to celebrate the presence and the power of God in the Easter times that are ahead. There's a quote which I wrote down because it's so simple I have forgotten it, from Pope Francis. So I'm just going to find it again because... Pope Francis on the Transfiguration. And you might now be expecting some epic quote, especially with my build-up. But it really is quite simple. He says, the message of the Transfiguration is this: listen to Jesus and follow him. Listen to Jesus and follow him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this story, for the Transfiguration. Help us to write that on our hearts, that we would listen to Jesus and follow him as we go through Lent. That we would listen to Jesus and follow him. As we encounter struggles in our daily life, as we experience sickness, as we see friends and family who experience all kinds of sicknesses and illnesses, disease of the body and the mind, help us to listen to Jesus and to follow him. As we find all sorts of things in the world are testing our faith, help us to listen to Jesus and follow him. Amen. Amen. So we're going to have a time to respond now. The band are going to play